So it is 9:18, May 6th, and I am at Southwestern with Bob Gallup. I'm a junior majoring in communications, and I'm also the director of Jinx Radio, and I am writing for the Collegiate.
Hi, I'm Bob Gallup. I'm a professor of physics and mathematics here at Southwestern. I also teach the introductory astronomy class, which is how Tierney and I originally met.
Yep. So Bob, today I'm going to be interviewing about what it means to be a builder to you and kind of how you ended up at Southwestern. So my first question for you is, what made you want to become a professor in general?
Well, this was a sort of a decision that I had to come to over time. When I was an undergraduate, I did a little bit of tutoring, and I found that, this is really pretty fun, and I seem to be pretty good at it. And so that's just sort of happened when I was an undergraduate. Then I went to graduate school and I had to teach introductory labs. And so during those, I also found I find this to be really pretty fulfilling. I mean, it's rewarding, it's fulfilling. And so I thought, maybe I need to look at this. Well, all of the pressures that you feel in graduate school are for you to go out and do research at major institutions where teaching is sort of minimized, and sort of the less you teaching you do, the higher up on the pecking order you seem to be. And so I was, involved in this environment, recognizing my value system is just really different from the people who are around me, and particularly the major professors who are the ones who are giving you the degrees. Well, so I continued on with this and continued to enjoy teaching, and certainly slowly dawned on me, this is really sort of what I want to do. This is more fulfilling than doing any of the research that I did. And so when I ended up graduating, I stayed at University of California, Davis, which is where I got my PhD. I stayed there for 3 years teaching undergraduate introductory physics classes. And so, I did that, found out, this is it. This is what I wanted to do. And that news wasn't received particularly well by my major professor, who wanted me to go out and do research and be a collaborator on research projects and things like that. But it was the decision that I knew that I had to make. And so, it was something where I sort of knew that that's what I wanted to do. And then as I got the opportunity to do it, which is why you need to do internships, when you get opportunity to do it, you realize, this really is. So that's sort of the arc of how I got into teaching as opposed to other things. The reason I like Southwestern is because that's what we do. And you may not realize this, but there aren't that many places around that are like this, that put as much of an emphasis on teaching, and not just teaching, but good teaching. And so, this place, for many of us, and I can speak for nearly everybody in this building, this place is a refuge in many ways for us, who, we could do the research sort of okay, but it's not as fulfilling. We want to teach, and this is what we do here, and it's supported and it's valued, and so this is a great place to be.
Mm-hmm. Was there something that you wanted to do before teaching? No?
Well, I always had dreams about being a particle physicist or an astrophysicist, and I'm still fascinated by those things. You get to the point, though, when you're going through your life where you realize, I'm going to have to make some decisions about how I'm going to spend my life and what I'm going to sacrifice for. And in order to be a research scientist, you need to work really hard. You need to sacrifice a lot. And if you're not getting the rewards from that, then it's just not worth it. Just like teaching, if you do teaching really well, it also takes an enormous amount of time, an enormous amount of investment of emotional energy. And if you're not getting things back from that, there's no reason to do that. And so here's one of the things. You may have heard this if you hear scientists talk, particularly scientists, professors at Research One institutions. They often say things like, the major motivation for me is that when I figure something out, I'm the first person in the world who knows that particular thing. And I hear this, and in my own head, I'm thinking to myself, I don't care if I'm the last person on Earth to learn a particular thing. If it's cool, it's cool. And I'll feel bad if I'm the last person on Earth to hear it. But that motivation, which is primary for many of these people means nothing to me. And so it came to the point where sort of, I would have liked to do that if I could have do what I'm doing now and sort of do that on the side. The beauty is I can continue, because of my background and my training, I can continue to learn stuff, not at the same level as if I'm doing research in one of those fields, but I now have the background to sort of understand more than somebody on the street. And so I'm sort of able to dabble in the cool, romantic stuff. That's okay. This is something people don't understand. People talk about the romance of the Old West, which is sort of this whole mixture of thoughts and feelings that you have that's sort of tied to reality, but in some ways isn't. You get that same sort of thing in intellectual pursuits as well. Some fields of study are just romantic. Psychology, astronomy, certainly cosmology. When you're thinking about the whole big thing, there is nothing bigger or sort of more romantic than that. Particle physics, when you're looking at the ultimate constituents of matter, that is romantic stuff that sort of, it really just hooks you in, this is just so cool, I can't believe it. And so, yeah, I think I speak for people who are in this building, that's the thing that draws you into science. Then when you get into it, you realize, you know what, in order to actually do that for a living, you got to do this, and sort of, don't want to do that. And like I said, all of us are teachers at heart, and you kind of really need to be. It's a calling more than other sorts of, you know, and if particularly if you go into public education, you better be called to do that work, because it is a rough bit to do. But even at this level, there is a particular skill set that you need and motivations, which if you don't have them, you may be able to survive, but you're not going to be very good. And if you do have those things, you can be great. So I had thought about other things, and I, you know, went to graduate school thinking that I was going to do one of those things, but then decided, no, this is, and I'm glad I had the opportunity. I'm glad that I was given the opportunity as an undergraduate to tutor. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to teach labs as an undergraduate, and I'm really glad. One guy in particular, his name is Wendell Potter. He was the vice chair of the physics department at Davis, who basically hired me on to teach introductory physics classes there when I completed my PhD. I am so thankful to that man for giving me that opportunity, because that's sealed it.
How did you end up at Southwestern?
This is quite a story, actually. So I had finished my PhD in September of 1990. And it may seem like there is no connection between me coming to Southwestern and the fall of the Soviet Union, but there was.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Soviet Union fell in, you know, late 1980s, and even before that time, during the period of Glasnost, the emigration restrictions had been loosened by the Soviet, at that time, government. And so prominent scientists from the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, were fleeing the Soviet Union, coming to the West. Well, these are top flight people in their fields, and physics more so than anything. The Russians, whatever else them people can do, they can do physics. I mean, they've got some of the best people in the world. And so when all of these top flight people emigrated from the Soviet Union to Western countries, and particularly the United States, what they did was they populated all of the highest ranking jobs at places like MIT and Caltech. What that did was it basically exerted downward pressure on the employment prospects in physics generally. And so places where native born people would normally rise to, they got shut out. And so they could only rise so high. So it was just this constant downward pressure in the physics community that was paired with an economic downturn at the same time. This led to an employment situation in California, where I was at the time, where there were 300 and 400 applications for jobs at community colleges teaching physics. That's how bad the physics community was at that time.
That's crazy.
And so finding a job anywhere, doing anything, you take it. And so I actually did apply to some jobs in California, and nothing worked out. the way I ended up at Southwestern is really kind of strange, and it shows you the power of connections. Stephen White, who was an SC alum, was actually teaching at UC Santa Barbara. And this guy, if you don't know about him, oh my gosh, the things that he did, after leaving Southwestern, he was one of the guys who basically discovered the Van Allen radiation belts around the Earth where charged particles are, you look at the Science Hall of Fame and read what this guy did, he's, oh my gosh, he's just a little, he's now dead. He was just a little guy like this, just meekest, mild little guy you can ever hope to meet, really nice. Anyway, he was teaching at the UC Santa Barbara at the time, and Southwestern was looking for a physics professor. And so the people here had connections with him, and they just happened to ask him, and I'm not sure how wide a net they cast in terms of contacting their alumni, but they just asked him, hey, do you know of anybody? Is anybody coming up through the ranks anywhere, that you know about? And so he did a little looking, and I'm not sure exactly who he knew or contacted at Davis, but at that time I was teaching at Davis. Mm-hmm. And so they actually did a bunch of background oppo research on me to figure out, okay, who is this guy? And so, when I applied here, I'm not sure if they did it beforehand or after, probably after I applied, but when I applied here, they got this information, and that's sort of how I got sort of an inside track here. And so, but to answer your question, was I looking to end up in South Central Kansas? The answer is God, no. No. Again, halfway across the country, away from my family, away from all my friends. No, it wasn't like, my gosh, that my life is not going to be complete unless I do, end up in South Central Kansas. That being said, looking back on after 26 years, I'm not sure it could have worked out much better. And again, I could have ended up in other places and been probably just as happy, and it's hard to scheme this sort of thing out, but to be honest, am I disappointed with the way things worked out? No, not really. It's worked out really pretty well.
What's your favorite part about Southwestern?
The small class sizes, the relationships, bam, that's it. That is the thing. I was able to be pretty successful at Davis when I was teaching introductory physics classes there, mm-hmm. but the class sizes were typically between 2 and 250 students, and they were in these tiered sort of things, and honestly, when I would be teaching the class and I'd look out, there would be faces that I would see, like every class period, and I would have no idea who these people were. And the thought that would often go through my mind is, when I'd be looking at these people that I'd never met, didn't know their names, I'd look at them and just think, spam, filler meat. They're just there. I did, though, have problem sessions that I would do a number of times a week, and if students came into those, I would interact with them, and that's the part of the game that I like the best. The one-on-one sort of thing, when I'm just focused in on you and thinking about how you're thinking about stuff and helping you to work through how to analyze things, that is the thing that I think I excel at the most. I'm pretty okay in front of a class. I'm great, I think, in that one-on-one thing because I am just all over you. You know what I'm saying? Thinking. And I often, when I'm in that interaction, I often have this experience of sort of rising up above, out of leaving my body, rising up above and sort of watching the interaction. What's going on here? Are we connecting? What's happening here? So that is the thing, the small size of Southwestern. When I came here, I did not know how small this place was. And when someone told me once I arrived on campus, I think I might have laughed out loud. I mean, I think I might have laughed out loud because my thought was we had chemistry classes at UC Davis that were 900 students.
Jeez.
In one room. They had to have TVs along the side of the room so the students in the back could see what the person down in the front was doing on the board. Yeah, no, closed circuit TVs.
That's so hard to think about.
See, 900 students in one class. And so they tell me there's 600 students on this entire campus. You're kidding me. This place works. And so, I was really kind of surprised. But that's the sort of situation that I was looking for. As much sort of one-on-one sort of thing. Again, when you go through your life, you try to set up situations that play to your strengths as much as possible. And the one-on-one stuff, I think I do that best of all. this situation allowed me to do that. It's small enough where I can memorize people's names. I know everybody. And sort of within the first week of class, I know who you are. And then they can start building on that. And then it gets really fun. Like when now, at the end of the two semesters of physics, I've been working with these people for a year. I know their strengths. I know their weaknesses. We have inside jokes. You know, sort of, there's all of this relationship arc stuff that's been built up that I think allows me to get past a lot of the resistance that people have to hard subjects that they hate, like physics. And so, I see that sort of as something that I can use to my advantage, and I enjoy doing it. And so that's a thing. If you don't enjoy doing it, my gosh, that's an incredible amount of work. Why would you even think about doing something like that? Well, I kind of get something back from it, and so that's why it's worth it to me.
To you, what does it mean to be a builder?
Okay, so you had mentioned this when you had sent the email originally asking me to do this, and so I thought about it, and so here you go. When I first showed up here, you know, on campus, you know, you hear the thing, mound builder. Mm. And so, okay, what could that possibly mean? And so, oh, the mound builder Indians, you know, in Cahokia, Illinois, big pyramid things, okay. That's what this must be about. You get on campus, you realize, no, that's not it. No, that's not it. Well, what is it then? Then they tell you about the Dean Allen speech and the rock mound and all that stuff. You think, this place is weird. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And it's sort of that. This is sort of on the same level as UC Santa Cruz has a mascot. They're the banana slugs, and you know, sort of. And we've actually made the list of stupid mascot names, and sort of. And so yeah, so I've actually seen that in national rankings. We're in the same group with the UC Santa Cruz banana slugs. Well, after you've been here a while, and particularly when you contract mound builder to just builder, and I've been thinking about that. The more I think about it, the more I like this. Think about this. Most mascots at other schools reflect a state of being, what you are. You're a Jayhawk, or you are a Wildcat, or you are a golden buffalo, or you are whatever, right? At Southwestern, you can be anything and still be a builder, because a builder is about doing. It's about doing things, not about being things. And so it's less a statement of sort of who you are and more a statement about what you do with that. And so you can be anything at all and still be a builder. And it's sort of, wow, okay, that's a different deal. And I've been sitting here kind of racking my brain, you know, over the last number of days, trying to think, are there other places that have similar sort of doing mascots, as opposed to the being ones? Oh, the Fighting Falcons. No, we're not that. We're builders, which is something really different. So anyway, just that, you know, just sort of, it's a doing versus a being thing. It's more inclusive. Anybody can be it. You don't have to be a particular thing. And so then the question is, okay, so then getting to the question of what does it mean to be a builder? From my perspective and sort of my station here as being a professor, I see sort of building, the builder thing, as a three-step process. The first thing for me is building relationships with students, okay? That then allows me sort of to get, particularly for the subjects that I teach, get past the natural resistance that many have to that. I sort of, and this works in many cases, not all, I just punch through that resistance and sort of, okay, I'm gonna interact with you as a person. And then as a result of that, we can then go on and do the physics or the astronomy or whatever we need to do. So for me, from my perspective, being a builder for me is building relationships with students. That then allows students to build competence and confidence in their own abilities. Once they have that, then they can use that competence and confidence to build their future, whatever it is. So I see it sort of as a three-step process. My particular pieces of it are that, again, start off building the relationships. That's where it starts. Then use that to sort of get past natural resistance that people have, build the competence and confidence, and then get, allow people to go on and build their lives as they see it with what we have given them as an institution.
If you were telling someone about Southwestern, what would be your values?
I have often compared this place to a family, with all the good and bad sort of that's associated with that. But no, this place is very much, and it's something that you need to understand, sort of the corporate culture of this place, that things are done on a very personal level. We are small enough to sort of, while we do have policies, much of what happens, and again, not so you guys see it, but sort of from faculty administration sort of thing, a lot of that is built on, again, personal relationships. And so a lot depends on your ability to interact with other people who are not in your field. And this is one of the other things that sort of makes this place different from other places that I have seen. The physics department that I came from at UC Davis, everybody was always fighting with everybody else about resources, about space, about whatever. And when I was there during this last three-year thing, they were going through a process of hiring a new department chair. And it was amazing the amount of fighting and backbiting that went on in that process, because everybody wanted to get somebody good name recognition to boost the name recognition of the school. But if you were like a particle physicist and they were thinking about hiring a solid state physicist who was really good, you were against that. Mm-hmm. Because if that person came in, that person would be giving more resources likely to the solid state people and not to the, and so this, you know, just this, not the sense that, hey, we're all on the same team, we're all trying to work in the same direction. At least in this building in the sciences, that's much more of sort of our way of doing things. We all understand what the game is. We all know sort of what we're trying to do, and for the most part, we're all moving in that direction. And again, at least in the sciences, because that's the place that I have the most experience with, this is just a damn good place to work. It really is. And it's why, if you look around here, everybody's been around here forever, okay? People come here, and they don't go. I wasn't planning to stay here. You know, the thing was, go someplace for 3 to 5 years, get some experience, and then go to someplace you really like. Well, I came here 3 to 5 years and sort of, well, maybe this is sort of where I want to be. Where Collishaw wasn't planning to stay here. He's planning to go back to Oregon. But again, he came here, stayed, recognized that, wow, this place is really a great place to work, again, within the sciences. And sort of, yeah, no, you can't find this hardly anywhere else, and why would you want to pass it up? And so so in terms of values, small, personal, interactive, those are the keys of this place, and why I think this place works on so many different levels, with students, with faculty, with administration.
Was there ever a time that you doubted Southwestern was your home?
Oh yeah, early on, sure. Yeah, no,
sorry. We moved out to Central Kansas.
Yeah, right. Sort of. Yeah, sort of. You know. Yeah, you know, when I first came here, again, it wasn't the thought in my mind, okay, great, I'm set now, and sort of South Central Kansas is where I want to spend the rest of my life. There were some difficult times that I went through there. I actually got divorced my first year when I was here, which didn't make it a pleasant time earlier on. Things changed, though, you know, after about the 5 year point or so, 5 year, 7 year point, and realized, well, okay, this is maybe, and again, the thought, maybe this is as good as it could have been. You know, maybe this is the place where I was supposed to be all along. That's what it feels like now, so.
What advice would you give to an incoming professor?
If they are brand new and have never taught before, just hang in there, it gets better. People don't realize, okay, I know that the thought is out there in the wider, you know, community that being a teacher is an easy thing, both in the public schools and at this level. And it can be if you're not concerned about being very good. Okay? And so if you are concerned about being pretty good, it is an enormous amount of work, an enormous amount of emotional energy you need to expend in order to do well, in order to do this relationship building with, you know, and just, I am not an extroverted person. And people think, really? You're on the right? You're like, no, I'm an introvert. When I get done here, I gotta go home, be by myself with my cats, and that's it. And sort of, I'm interacted out often, and so I just can't take anymore. But you need to have sort of that level of commitment. And it's two things: becoming a competent teacher, which is sort of competence in presenting your material and getting all that stuff done, and then even more so, getting good at presenting it to different kinds of people. And that's why, that's the other thing. Here, let's go back to the thing about when I knew that I wanted to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I would talk to profs out at Davis, who were, you know, again, research one, primarily research, do a little bit of teaching. Again, the less teaching you do, the higher up in the status you are. I would talk to them, and we'd talk about teaching, and a number of them said things like, oh yeah, after I teach a class for the third time, I don't want to do it again because I'm bored. Yeah, and I get the same look that you guys got right there. And sort of, And I thought to myself, I didn't say this because I hadn't graduated yet and I wanted to graduate. I thought to myself, this isn't about you. This teaching is not about you. And it's not about whether you're bored or not. It's the interactions that happen every time. And that's the thing. Some people say, oh yeah, I get bored teaching the same thing over and over again. Yeah, there's a certain amount of that. But the way I look at it is every year it is a new bunch of people, new bunch of students with new sort of gifts, difficulties, problems, and it's sort of like that, you get to the point where that's the game that you're playing more. And it's sort of, how can I hook this particular person into what we're doing and get them sort of on board? And so, yeah, I've never had that sense of, yeah, I'm bored with this. To be honest, couple years ago, I had an astronomy class that pushed me as close to retirement as ever because they would not interact.
Mm-hmm.
I would come out of there every day. I don't want to do this anymore. This is no longer fun. I'm not sure that whatever I am able to do works anymore. You know, and again, get to a certain age, you think, oh, that's a possibility. But yeah, that was the thing more so than, and it was because they would not interact. And it's sort of, oh, that just, you want to kill me? That kill me.
Yeah. All right, well, that's all I have for you. Thank you so much for giving me some of your time that I can come in and do this.
Well, thank you, and thank you for listening to an old man.
Sure.